7:30 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown. As per the annual tradition, folks in Helvetia, West Virginia, tried to scare off Old Man Winter. That story coming up, but first, these headlines. Senators on the Health and Human Resources Committee amended a bill passed by the House limiting abortions to 20 weeks after conception. The Senate Judiciary Chair, who also serves on the Health Committee, felt the amendment didn't do enough, however, to protect the state from future court actions. Ashton Marr reports.
The women's organization West Virginia Free gathered more than 50 supporters outside the Senate chambers to protest House Bill 4588, the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. The bill was taken up in the Senate Health and Human Resources Committee and amended, changing the felony charge for performing an abortion to a misdemeanor, with a possible fine of up to $4,000. One of the lead sponsors of the House bill, Delegate Joe Ellington, is an obstetrician and says there is some confusion over the time limit in the bill.
20 weeks is considered from the last menstrual period is what we usually look at as far as the medical term abortion. This bill reports from post-fertilization, which is another 2 weeks, so that would be about 22 weeks from the last menstrual period. Now, generally accepted in the medical community is that from 24 weeks from the last menstrual period is considered viability. So there's only a 2 week difference from that.
When questioned by the chair if he had evidence that a fetus could feel pain at the 20 week mark, as supported by findings in the legislation, Ellington said he had not researched studies outside of what was contained in the bill. Dr. Luis Bracero, high risk OBGYN at the Women and Children's Hospital in Charleston, spoke against the bill.
I think that we need to let the decisions between patients and doctors not be essentially legislated by you guys. You know, you need to respect patient-doctor relationships. And you should not be criminalizing physicians who do terminations of pregnancy. We have to have a little bit more empathy. You don't know what the individual situation is. Everybody has their own story. It's not all one fit, you know, one size fits all. They're all different. They all have to be individualized. And that's what medicine is all about, individualization. And we have to respect that.
Senate Judiciary Chair Senator Corey Palumbo says in his research, nearly 40 states have laws that prohibit abortions after 24 weeks or when a fetus is considered medically viable. He says 9 or 10 states have a law similar to what West Virginia is considering now. And in at least 3 of those states, the law has been overturned by the courts.
Have you found any cases out there that have upheld a 20-week ban in a state?
I have not, but there are currently litigation pending in, I believe, Idaho and Georgia.
Okay.
But I might be incorrect on the states, but there is current litigation regarding the 20-week period.
Okay, but it's fair to say that all the court decisions that have been rendered at this point indicate that a 20-week ban is unconstitutional, but a ban at 24 weeks or after viability would be constitutional.
I think that's fair, yes.
The senator then proposed an amendment changing the bill from 20 weeks after fertilization to a ban on 24 weeks, bringing West Virginia in line with a majority of the country.
Before us is the amendment to the amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Appears the noes have it. The noes do have it.
The amendment failed, and Palumbo says he was disappointed in the lack of support.
That's the form that has been consistently upheld by courts around the country. The version that we passed out of the committee has been rejected by courts in every published decision that I've seen. So I don't know why we would try to move forward with a bill that has been time after time determined to be unconstitutional and rejected.
The judiciary chair says he plans to talk with other senators about the amendment before the bill is introduced in his committee, but says he doesn't expect to receive much support. He adds he expects court challenges and ultimately a decision from the state Supreme Court should the 20-week ban be passed by the full legislature. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
A request last week by delegates for a special session focusing on Senate Bill 373, if they could not finish up by the Saturday deadline, had some concern that the House would not be able to get through it. However, the Water Resource Protection Bill passed through its final committee reference Monday night when it was approved by Finance. As Aaron Payne reports, the committee made several changes to the bill.
The House Finance Committee removed several of the major amendments included in the Water Resource Protection Bill. Chairman Brent Boggs says the amendment relating to medical monitoring was a redundancy because Dr. Letitia Tierney from the DAHR told the committee her office plans to pursue testing whether it is in the bill or not. The Finance Committee also removed the requirement for water treatment plants to install an early chemical detection system. Delegate Boggs questioned availability of the technology.
Obviously, we heard from many of the people that much of the technology to detect leaks is only in theory. It's not actually available right now. And we tried to look at things to where we could make sure we didn't put an undue burden on our public service districts that may not have the means that, say, a West Virginia American Water Company would have.
Boggs feels his committee did the best they could to make good legislation.
Certainly we didn't spend as much time on the bill and have as much time as the Judiciary Committee did, but I think that there are things that did not hurt the overall intent of the bill. So obviously the bill is going to go to conference, and we'll see what happens when it gets to conference.
Senate Bill 373 will be up for full vote today. Another bill taken up by the Finance Committee Tuesday was Senate Bill 431, which would change the renewal cycle for driver's licenses in West Virginia from a 5-year to an 8-year cycle. The bill was passed unanimously by the Senate and approved by House Judiciary. The only point of contention was an amendment proposed which would eliminate a $10 fee to acquire a federally compliant license as opposed to the normal West Virginia license. Delegate Richard Iaquinta asked Acting Commissioner of the DMV, Stephen Dale, how the licenses were paid for prior to the proposed charge.
We were fortunate enough to get some additional grant money for several years in a row. However, that grant money has dried up, is no longer available, and we were using that grant money to backfill our budget to pay for the additional costs for those folks that chose to get the four federal use.
So all the grant money's gone?
Yes.
Delegate Doug Scaff asked if there was no grant money and the fee was done away with, where the money to administer the program would come from.
Our challenge was, of course, to figure out a way to pay for these additional costs. As council indicated, it would require an additional appropriation out of the state road fund to backfill our funds to pay for that.
Not wanting to raid the struggling road fund, the amendment was rejected. The bill without the amendment, however, was approved and sent to the floor with the recommendation that it do pass. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Aaron Payne in Charleston.
The Senate recently passed the Move to Improve Act, which could change the daily grind in state classrooms. The bill is in response to the Healthy Lifestyles Act, which was passed by the legislature in 2005 without a mechanism to assure implementation. Lawmakers say they're trying to address an epidemic of childhood obesity in West Virginia. Jessica Lilly met with teachers who would be responsible for making it happen.
Children and teens spend more than half of their waking hours at school. Edward Evans teaches in McDowell County, where, according to data compiled in county health rankings and roadmaps, 44% of adults age 20 and over report no leisure time of physical activity.
We're seeing kids that go straight from here, sitting all day in a classroom, straight home, and then getting on the computer and sitting there for hours.
About 33% of children aged 10 to 17 in the state are overweight or obese, according to a national survey taken between 2011 and 2012.
Kids that sit in the chair all day long are going to get tired and listless and sleepy. And I mean, every teacher in America encounters kids that fall asleep because they may not have gotten enough sleep the night before, and here they are doing something that is not exciting them and they're not moving.
Senate Majority Leader John Unger is one of the main sponsors for Senate Bill 455. It would mandate 30 minutes of physical activity 3 days a week in elementary schools. It's meant to help address the growing health problem and possibly save the state some cash. The bill states that in West Virginia, the direct medical cost of obesity was $8.9 million in 2009. In elementary school, some teachers say the transition would be simple.
Class, your turn. Work. word?
Bottle.
Spell bottle.
B-O-T-T-L-E.
What's her word?
Bottle.
Like in this classroom where children are touching their heads, shoulders, knees, and toes with each letter.
Word?
Maybe.
Word?
Backpack.
Mercer County kindergarten teacher Billy Wood says she already uses movement in her lessons, and it's the way to go.
We put motions to songs. We'll do Vimeo with the smart board where they actually get up and move and jump and dance and sing along with it. And it's surprising how fast they learn.
Wood says she also uses old-time records like Whip Happ Palmer.
Where's your other shoe? Got the hurry, got the worry blues. I can't keep cool when I'm keyed up. Now where'd I leave my coffee cup? Tommy, that's not your toothbrush, so how I hate this nervous rush.
To help children in her classroom move to the education beat, and she often joins them in the dance.
The primary years are the most important in order to get your mind and your coordination, and it helps with fine motor skills, gross motor skills, and they have to see how it works together.
Still, a lack of resources, pressure to increase test scores, and even age creates challenges. Elementary students are generally easier to motivate with physical activity during a lesson than, say, a middle school or high school student. But science teacher Edward Evans is finding a way. His students keep moving, frequently walking around to different stations for lab.
Is it challenging? Yeah. Is it doable? Absolutely. It's just a matter of creative scheduling. We work the time into the schedule.
The bill requires middle school students to attend at least one full period of physical education per day with 30 minutes of moderate to vigorous activity. High school students would need one full course of physical education for graduation and would have the opportunity to enroll in an elective lifetime physical education course. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Jessica Lilly.
No, come on, Freddie. Quarter to eight and you're still not ready. Where's your homework? Where's your lunch?
And you're listening to West Virginia Morning. It's 7:42. Last night, New Orleans celebrated Mardi Gras, the great party before Ash Wednesday and the beginning of Lent. This past weekend, the West Virginia version of Mardi Gras took place when the little town of Helvetia tried its best to frighten away Old Man Winter at its annual Fasnacht Festival. Hundreds of people thronged the streets of the remote Swiss community in Randolph County, many of them squeezing into the community hall for the square dance. People this year had large papier-mâché masks that resembled long-nosed monsters, Chinese dragons, and druid-like trees. But before the party, cooks and volunteers were busy helping prepare the Swiss feast in the Hütte, which included sausage, spiced sauerkraut, bratwurst, green beans, parsley, potatoes, homemade applesauce, and peach cobbler. 3 years after one of the most important matriarchs of Helvetia, Eleanor Mayhew, founder of the Hütte, passed away, the question many are asking is, how will the tradition change without her? Traveling 219's Roxy Todd brings us this story.
So you want any coffee? You need some, huh?
I don't think so.
On Saturday morning, I woke to the smell of curry and countless other spices wafting up to my room above the Hütte, where I was staying. And as I sat down for coffee beside the crackling wood stove, the smells grew more intense, and I could hear something frying in the kitchen. One of the cooks was frying the Morgan Henley chicken in olive oil, so I went to have a closer look.
I can't give the spices away. I can say this much. It's a curry chicken. It's marinated, and then Henry fries it, and it's we bake it, and that keeps it nice and moist.
Debbie has worked at the Hütte since 1977, and like many here, her family roots go back to Switzerland.
Mostly, Debbie makes her homemade bread, and she's made it for years, and then Wilma Sanders makes our whole wheat bread, and the sausage is what a lot of people love, and we get that from Campbell's Market, shoulder sausage, very lean, and then we have nine different spices that go into it, grated onion and a whole bunch of other things that I won't tell you about. It's wonderful and people love it.
Yeah, the two different sausages, they're different.
I'm Heidi Farner Mayhew Arnett. My mom was Eleanor Mayhew.
Since her mother, Eleanor Mayhew, passed away 3 years ago, Heidi and four others in her family have been keeping the restaurant going just as before.
And we don't care. We don't want to make a dime. We just want to continue this. And the staff is amazing. They've been working with us for years.
Eleanor, she worked with the recipes over the years to get them where she wanted them. Quite a lady, wasn't she, Melissa? Yeah, we miss her. But we're doing what she taught us to do. And she worked hard to get, you know, to get us where we're at today.
Preserving the old ways of cooking Swiss foods wasn't the only tradition that Eleanor Mayhew helped inspire here. Bringing back Fasnacht was also part of her creative vision for reviving Helvetia.
Fasnacht is something that happened many years ago that they always celebrated. What they used to do, I think, is go to farm, and they used to have a glass of wine and a rosette or a Hoseblatz and go to the next house, and it was like a party. So many of the local families were musicians, and so they would play songs and hang out, and it was a lot of fun. That was one of the things also that my mom kind of wanted to get going back again, because it's something that they used to celebrate. So we had people sleeping on the dining room table, under the dining room table, and my mom was all for it. She loved kids.
After dinner, hundreds of people slip on their costumes and oversized papier-mâché masks and parade through the small town towards the dance hall. In circles and pairs, weaving beneath a scarecrow-esque effigy of Old Man Winter, they dance for hours.
It's always a hard winter here because we're in the mountains, so burning him is really therapeutic.
Everything on Old Man Winter gets burned every year. And square dancing, and that they love it so much, and it's a great thing to be a part of. So, yeah, we love it.
At midnight, someone cuts down Old Man Winter from the ceiling. Hallie Martin of Elkins Middle School is given the honor this year of hauling Old Man Winter onto the bonfire, amid cheers and howls from the crowd. In a way, this is West Virginia's Mardi Gras. It's 40 degrees, and Old Man Winter has been temporarily put to shame. Some of the local people begin to sing John Denver's Country Roads, and somebody throws a dead wild boar they found nearby onto the fire, and the flames grow higher. Maybe the burning of a wild boar and the singing of Country Roads will become new traditions, blending with all the others of Helvetia. It's for the next generation to decide what comes next here, anyway.
You know what I like about Helvetia is that you can be who you are. I love Helvetia people, and I'm Pickens people and Czar people. They're the purity of just being who you are. It's a freedom. You know, you're very free out here to be who you are.
The story was produced by Roxy Todd of the Traveling 219 Project, a production of Allegheny Mountain Radio with support from the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, the West Virginia Humanities Council, and the AmeriCorps VISTA program. To learn more, go to traveling219.com. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ben Duccio, our news director, Beth Voorhees. Our director this morning is Bob Powell. And from Monongalia County this morning, I'm Glynis Board. Good morning.